and welcome, and thank you for joining our collaborative learning session. My name is Mike Harris, and I'm a director for Pfizer's Organized Customer Group, and I'm excited to be your host for today's session. During today's program, we'll focus on increasing colorectal cancer screening rates in medical groups and integrated delivery networks, and we'll be joined by guests who will be sharing some of their approaches and learnings around improving their colorectal cancer screening pathways. Before we get started, we have to point out that the views expressed by the speakers represent their own personal experiences and are not necessarily the views of Pfizer or Exact Sciences. Today's program is a non-promotional presentation sponsored by Pfizer and Exact Sciences. So why are we here today? Let me share a couple quick points on the importance of colorectal cancer screening and why the work you're doing for patients is so critical. Colorectal cancer is America's second deadliest cancer. Although guidelines recommend that adults age 50 or older at average risk undergo regular screening, America's colorectal cancer screening rates remain well below targets. As a result, colorectal cancer has been described by the Journal of National Cancer Institute as the most preventable yet least prevented form of cancer. And we know that higher rates of colorectal cancer screening can reduce colorectal cancer incidence and mortality. Pfizer and Exact Sciences colleagues working with systems across the country often hear how challenging it can be to set up a standardized screening pathway to help increase screening rates. We hear you. And so we wanted to create a venue to share ideas, insights, and lessons learned. Hopefully you will walk away with a few actionable insights that may assist you in meeting your colorectal cancer screening goals and improve the lives of the patients you serve. So with that as our backdrop, I'd like to introduce our two guest speakers today. First, Dr. Danny Lee from Johns Hopkins Community Physicians in Baltimore, Maryland, and Dr. Jay Zadunek from Austin Regional Clinic in Austin, Texas. So Dr. Lee, I'll start with you. Could you give us a little background on yourself?
Sure. Thank you, and thank you for joining us. My name is Dr. Danny Lee. I'm from Johns Hopkins Community Physicians. I am the CMIO there.
Great, thank you. Thanks for being here. And Dr. Zadunek, could you tell us a little bit about yourself as well?
Sure. I'm Dr. Jay Zadunek, and I am the Chief Medical Officer at Austin Regional Clinic in Austin, Texas. I'm a family practice physician by trade. The rest of my days are administrative.
Great, thank you also for being here. So with that, Dr. Lee, I'm going to turn it over to you. Could you give us a little bit of an overview of Johns Hopkins Community Physicians?
Sure. So Johns Hopkins Community Physicians operates over 50 outpatient clinics in this, throughout the state of Maryland and in D.C. And our main EMR is Epic.
Great. And so what was your target or what was your goal as you went to improve your colorectal cancer screening pathway?
Yeah, so one of our main objectives in doing CRC screening was to achieve greater than 70% screening for all of our patients.
Great. And so, Dr. Zadunek, I'm going to turn it over to you. Could you tell me a little bit of an overview of Austin Regional Clinic?
So Austin Regional Clinic is an independent medical practice of 330 multi-specialty providers. We did 1.2 million visits last year in our clinics, and we also utilize Epic as a EMR system.
Great. And what were some of your goals as you went to revamp your CRC screening pathway?
ARC prides itself on being a high-quality, cost-efficient organization, and to be able to meet that challenge, we believe that it was important for us to practice preventative medicine in an effort to help to try to bend the cost curve down for healthcare.
Great. Thank you for that overview. So now I want to turn to how you plan these changes to your pathway. So once you had established colorectal cancer screening rates as a goal, how did you go about the planning process?
So the initial planning process was to centralize it, as I said, within our Yep. medical home. But as we started to build out our population health, it became a very cross-sectional team that was put together. Across the board, there are people plucked from each department trying to make this thing work. We tried to tell the story right so that people don't look at this as being simply another box I have to check, but really understand the value of what we're trying to do here.
Great. Thank you for that. So, Dr. Lee, I'm going to turn to you, and I'm going to ask you now, why did Johns Hopkins Community Physicians choose to prioritize colorectal cancer screening?
So preventive care is a large part of what we do at JHCP, since we're a largely primary care-based organization. It's part of our our mission priority to make sure that all our patients get screened in a timely manner.
Yeah, and can you talk a little bit about expanding the options and the difficulty of getting patients screened?
Sure. So as you all know, that there are many ways to screen our patients for colorectal cancer screening. And they're all recommended. And so what we decided to do was to implement a decision support tool inside of our EMR that gave the provider all five options for colorectal cancer screening. And so then when they are with the patient and discussing CRC screening, the two of them can mutually decide which modality would work best for them.
So now I want to transition a little bit to actually the implementation of your colorectal cancer screening pathways. So Dr. Lee, I'm going to stay with you for this. Could you give us a little bit of an overview of some of the key components your team put in place to improve your colorectal cancer screening rates?
Sure. So we started designing care alerts to make our providers aware of certain preventative guidelines that the patient may be due for. Moving away from the EMR, we also discussed some of the hurdles of getting colonoscopies, right? Mm-hmm. So colonoscopies are multiple obstacles, first of which is time, right? So we created what we call direct access colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. So direct access colonoscopies enable providers to order colonoscopies, and the only appointment that the patient needs is to actually schedule the colonoscopy. Mm. So they're meeting their gastroenterologist probably minutes before they go under, and they get the colonoscopies, and the prep is all done beforehand. So they'll come and pick up their prep from the pharmacy, and then they'll show up and get the colonoscopies done, and then they go home. So we've taken something that had been a little bit more arduous and more time consuming and focused it into just one day, reducing some of the obstacles in getting colonoscopies done.
So it sounds like there's a lot going on in the EMR. Can you talk about the importance of the Epic team that you worked with to operationalize?
Sure. So one of the goals that we had was to make ordering some of these tests easier. In some of our processes before, you'd order it, a form would fill out, you'd fax it, and results would get faxed back. And that was very time consuming and people and resource intensive as well. So we wanted to get a more seamless integration into our EMR about ordering, and then also in view fewer people. So we put together a team of from our Epic team with our interface team as well as our lab order team and our ambulatory team to kind of come together and get this order in place.
Great, thank you. So I'm going to talk a little bit about now. I want to hear a little bit more about the communication. The planning is all well and good, right? But how do you go about socializing this process with both within the organization and externally?
Right.
How do you reach every patient?
Sure. So communication is extremely difficult through a large organization like our own. But wherever it's possible, you know, I try to get in front of groups of faculty, departmental meetings, office meetings and stuff, and to communicate that, you know, these new orders are available and to kind of communicate them out that way. We also have newsletters and emails and things like that. So, you know, we have a strategy of communicating something five or six times, you know, before every provider hears it at least once, you know. One other unique thing we have at JHCP is we do have kind of an informal listserv, which is kind of like an email forum where we can communicate out to providers certain messages. Mm. And also, it's a valuable place for me to gather feedback. So once we do implement something, I want to know how well is it working and what could be better.
Yeah.
And that listserv has been a valuable sounding board for me to kind of gather unfiltered comments right back to me and see how we can make that better.
Great. And how do you kind of hit every patient? What's your patient communication cadence like?
We do implement a patient portal. And we do make, you know, all the preventative measures available to them so they can see them. So we try to, you know, do it through the patient portal, through, you know, letter writing, mass communication, and through those types of outreach.
Great. Thank you for that insight. Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Zdenek, I'm going to come back to you now. And I want to hear a little bit about your process and what you put in place with your team at ARC.
Really starts with collection of the data. Mm-hmm. As I said, prior to the EMR era, we were collecting all that data by hand. Now with the EMR, it's become a lot easier to data mine from the database. And that generates the initial list of those people who have not met the criteria for over the last 5 years, or those who have had a colonoscopy that are due for follow-up. From there, we have a committee that is, again, a cross-sectional committee between our marketing team, our medical home team, and our clinic management team that essentially rolls this out into the patient population. It's important for you to be able to get that information to that patient as soon as possible. Oftentimes, when the physician walks into the room, that patient's focused on why they're really here. But when the nurses or the MA are rooming that patient and it fires, and that nurse or that MA has the ability then to talk to that patient about the colorectal screening criteria and the reason for having it done, we've empowered that nurse MA to be able to use the smart set that's available, which you can do within Epic, to go ahead and trigger the order set to fire. And then the physician just simply completes the process. Getting that information out is imperative. We do emails, we do mail campaigns directly from the primary care physician, addressed to the patient, signed by their primary care doctor, ask him to please complete this. We believe it to be very important. We have found out through experience that a letter coming from me as the chief medical officer has much, much less impact than it does coming from their primary care doctor. We subsequently also use our patient portal, which on Epic is called MyChart. I still see patients 2 half-days a week in the clinic, and I will tell you that there's not a day that goes by that somebody doesn't come in and say to me, hey, I saw on my chart that I need X, Y, or Z done, and that helps me be able to remember to get this ordered for them. And then our marketing department is phenomenal in terms of being socially media adept.
Yeah.
And so we utilize a lot of Facebook and Instagram and those kind of techniques also, because I think we have to recognize that our patient population communicates in many different ways. Mm-hmm. And then we have a regular follow-up program that looks to make sure what's our success of that outreach program, and then those that we connect to then that have not fulfilled, we try to reach out to them again during that year at some other point in time to try to get the gaps closed.
Great. So how did you spread the word within ARC to make sure that everybody was aware of all the changes?
So essentially you're asking me, how do you herd cats, right? And the answer to that is that you have to, again, communicate across multiple channels, and you have to do it multiple times. As Dr. Lee said, repetition is the mother of learning. And if you're not out there preaching this every single day to people, they're not hearing the message. So you have to really kind of be very vigilant in terms of your communication. You have to be able to communicate in multiple different levels. It starts, however, with leadership. Leadership has to be committed, and they have to be committed to their commitment to do this. We then have, communicated things through text message, et cetera, for the docs. But then one of the most effective ways that we found is leadership actually going to the clinics themselves and having sit-down meetings with 4 to 5 doctors at a time, essentially telling the story correctly as to how and why this is important. And I'm often reminded that by our founding CEO, who grew up in Brooklyn, that when he was young, the way the knives got sharpened was there's somebody coming around every week to sharpen the knives, and he uses that analogy, and it's really great because this is something you can communicate once and have people do. You have to continually emphasize the message.
Great. Yeah, that's great. So now I'm going to transition our conversation a little bit to talk a little bit about some of the metrics you use, some of the results that you've had, and what some of the key learnings as well. So Dr. Zdunek, I'm going to stick with you on this one. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, some of the key metrics that you guys have used to identify or to look at success and what some of your results have been?
Yeah, so we look at total colorectal screening rates for our patient population, and we actually break our patient population down into Medicare population and our commercial population. And when we started pulling data, we obviously were well under the national average. As we've continued to make this an emphasis, we've continued to see a rise in that rate with an overall successful rate of colorectal screening of about 66% across the board.
That's great. And so I want to turn to, you know, looking back on this whole process, what types of learnings do you have that you would want to share with our audience today?
The first and foremost is just commit. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do that because you're disrupting physicians' workflow, you're disrupting the day-to-day operations, but it's extremely important to do this. And I think you need to have leaders who are passionate about what they're doing, who are passionate about having quality as part of the program. So I think a commitment from leadership is key and number one. And then as a part of that is a constant, never-ending desire to improve that number, right? And then the second thing is to recognize that you've got to communicate with people where they sit, right? Because people have busy lives. They have a busy practice. They have a busy life. You know, they have family life that they've got to, you know, so you've got to be able to meet people wherever you can and give them options. Yeah. You know, it's not a one-size-fits-all, right? Mm-hmm. Give them the options and make them a part of the discussion and part of the program.
Great. Thank you for that. With the time that we have left, I'd like to open it up to Q&A with our guests from the audience. So next question that's come in. How have you worked around patients who are refusing any screening on colorectal cancer? Dr. Zdenek, I'll start with you this time.
Well, I'll answer that on two different levels.
Sure.
One is I will answer it on a system-wide level. You have to recognize that you're not going to get 100% colon cancer screening. And it's the 80-20 principle. You know, on a personal level, when I'm in a room seeing a patient, I actually give them a personal story of my family. Every single member of my dad's side of the family has had colorectal cancer. So it's a passion for me because obviously, what am I looking for every single day? You know, when am I going to get the colorectal cancer? Because it's obviously that gene's there. And I share with them the stories of the young patients that I've had who have not gotten colorectal cancer and screening and who have essentially gone on to develop colorectal cancer. And then I try to tie that to, you know, the things that are important in their life, right? You know, their family, their kids, their wife, their husband, their, you know, their dog, whatever it is, you try to find that point of pressure that you can utilize to get leverage on that patient. That's time consuming and it's hand-to-hand combat, but the reality is that people don't know what they don't know, right? And this is a silent killer for the most part, right? You know.
Wow. Dr. Lee?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's a challenging question. I think from a patient-to-patient standpoint, it's trying to understand what are the barriers for getting screening in the first place. And so you want to understand it from the patient level, right? Is it cost? And then, you know, reassuring them, you know, this is a covered benefit. Is it time? We have modalities that will not take any of your time. You can do it at home at your own leisure. Are you fearful of finding out the results? Well, keep in mind, you know, as we discussed earlier, the screening is to find, you know, these, you know, benign polyps before they become full-fledged, you know, malignancies.
Yeah.
So it's really just getting to the patient level and understanding what their obstacles are and what their barriers are and try to overcome them.
Great.
And talk to them in a reasonable manner.
Yeah, makes sense. So last question for you guys. Do either of you, or we'll start with you, Dr. Lee, do you use a pre-visit planning approach for patient outreach to offer colorectal cancer screening to patients? If so, has that been successful?
We do. I will say we encourage many of our clinics and our sites to do what we call a pre-day huddle, right? So you gather with your MA, you're looking at all the care gaps that you have to face with the patient panels sitting in front of you for that day, and how many of those care gaps can we close in that day. The ones who do implement it do find it a less stressful day because you're queuing up a lot of these care gaps early on in the day and not having to think about it after the fact or, oh, I missed that opportunity to do that. And in some cases, when we talk about care alerts and stuff, if you're queuing them up, you can reduce some of the alert with a little bit of pre-visit planning. I think it is a very good strategy to implement, but we're still in early days about that.
Okay, doctors have done it?
Yeah, I would echo what Dr. Lee said. I think that a lot of the work is done through the medical home already. Mm-hmm. They're already reaching out to these patients and getting things teed up for them to come in. We have just started to discuss and utilize pre-day huddles. They're not widely used, and I don't have a lot of results from them yet. Mm. But I echo what he said in that it's very, very effective mm-hmm. if you can get that 10 minutes in the morning beforehand, sit down with your MA, and then if you can, you get that teed up, it just makes the day go smoother. It's an easier discussion at that point in time, and everything's pretty much pre-populated.
Great. Thank you for that. And before we sign off, I'd like to thank both of you, Dr. Lee and Dr. Zadunek. We appreciate you taking the time to hear some best practices on improving colorectal cancer screening rates. We hope you found this valuable, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Thanks again, both of you.
Thank you.